On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came a new smile.
Tuesday. Girl in the cut, she chooses.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Here we go.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Here we go again. Well, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. I swear I am. Yes, I am. Don't argue with me. No, I am. I am Ron Van Dam. What's great is that if you have a horrible, stupid, ridiculous life and not a lot of money, no one's going to steal your identity. Isn't that wonderful? So comforting. I can't imagine someone stealing your identity and going, "Oh, second thought, you can have it back. I don't want this identity. Not this one. Sorry." Oh, whoa. I almost made a mistake there. Welcome to the program. How are you? Good to be with you on this fine, beautiful day. I don't know what it is where you live. Who am I to tell you what the weather is? I always found that so odd, having these weathermen, weather ladies, meteorologists, they call them if they want to sound more scientific. When it's raining outside, they say, "Well, it's raining." Shut up. I did not know. If you don't have a window, I guess you wouldn't know that. God. Well, it's cold outside. Yeah, I know. I have a door. I open the door, I can tell. Well, later on, it's going to get a little bit warmer. All right. What do you want me to do about that? What do you want me to band together with other people and blow hard so we create a wind? What do you want from me? I've talked about this before. I don't know where to live anymore. We are screwing up the planet so quickly. Oh, Ron, you're going to go there so early in the show? Yes. Yes, I am. We're screwing up the planet so vigorously. And we know it. But we don't do anything about it. You know why we don't do anything about it? Because we're living in the moment. Whatever. I just want to keep my things the way they are. That's all. I want to keep gasoline prices really low, and the future? I can't even take care of the present. Anyway, so things are so weird that all the storms seem to be worse than they ever were. Have you heard that now? Yeah, all the storms. There's a storm coming, and it could be the worst of the century. Not another worst of the century. How many worst of the centuries are we supposed to have in one century? Every year. Yes, this is the hottest year on record since we kept taking records. Every year is the hottest year. Do you get the pattern happening here? It's not good, ladies and gentlemen. But we live in the moment. We don't know. We got blinders on. We got blinders on. We can only see forward. and down. We can't see all the way forward. We don't look back. Don't look back, because that's silly. If you look back, then nothing's going to happen. We look forward, but we don't look forward enough. We just look where we are, and that's it. The present, not the future. Is there a future? Yeah, there always has been, so why won't there be later? Because you're screwing things up. That little child, Greta something, Hansen, Greta, she addressed the UN like about a year ago or 2 years ago, and she like yelled it at all the adults. She said, you people, you're ruining the planet for my generation. You're responsible for ruining the planet and giving us no future. And you also lied to us about Santa Claus. Oh, she gave it to them. She gave it to them. And all the ambassadors at the UN that were listening to that, they all looked at each other and go, what the fuck is this little girl doing? What the hell's with this little girl? Little girls aren't supposed to talk up like that. Get her out of here. Get her out of here. Where's she from? Sweden? Get her out of here. Put her on a boat. What the hell's going on here? Yelling at adults. How rude. Anyway. So that's what's happening. Anyway, so I'm going to tell you a story. You know what? I don't even know what I was talking about when the show began. I could rewind and listen, but you know what? I don't have time. I don't have the time to do that. Anyway, we're ruining the planet. Yeah, we don't know. We don't care about tomorrow. We have no idea. We don't even know what day of the week it is. We're turning clocks back and forward and in the middle. We don't know what the hell we're doing. Yeah. This is where I live in the Boston area. We almost broke the record for snowfall. Maybe we did. I really don't know. Probably not. Maybe we came real close, if not. The most snow in any winter ever. We've broken the record. If I hear one more weatherman searching in his almanac to find out which record we're breaking today, stop with the record breaking. My world is not the Guinness Book of Records here. Cut it out. Go get Evel Knievel if you want to break records. Leave me alone with the record breaking. What a stupid book that is, the Guinness Book of World Records. What a stupid book. You open up the book and you find out some guy named Harry broke the record for balancing ping pong balls on his tongue. What the hell's wrong with us? That's the record that we're keeping? And why is Harry balancing ping pong balls on his tongue? Every year they in the summer, they have this thing at Coney Island in New York there, Brooklyn, whatever. And, for the person who eats the most hot dogs in one sitting, you know, the hot dog eating record. Why? Then they have the crowd cheering on the people who are eating the hot dogs to break the record of the most hot dogs eaten. It's like, okay, I'm a human being, but I'm weird then. What are we doing? What are we doing? Hello, don't we have, can't you like, why don't you shampoo the carpet? Why are you spending so much time concerned about who's eating the hot dogs and how many and breaking the record? One of them's going to die from eating all those hot dogs. Yeah, but he broke the record, and that will be his claim to fame. We're so sad about him losing his life. What did he die of? Hot dogs. He died of eating too many hot dogs. Who was he? He was the record breaker for eating the most hot dogs. Oh, that's significant. That's a life that could have changed the planet. Stop it. Just stop it. Stop it. Cut it out. Oh, man. If I ever meet that guy who ate all the hot dogs, I'm not going to shake his hand. I'm going to call him a schmuck. Hey, you, did you eat all those hot dogs? Yes, I broke the record for eating the most hot dogs. I won the contest. Wow. That is so So amazing. Wow. Aww. Yeah, we're breaking records all over the place. We always break records. Yeah. We just came out of a pandemic. Maybe going to go back into it. Who knows? Depends on how I feel. Depends on how the virus feels today. Shall I morph into another version of the virus? Maybe soon. Maybe soon. Not just yet. Give all those people a break for a couple of months. Then we'll put the mask back on. Let's just give them a little break here. Let them think things are normal again. As I said on yesterday's show, nothing was normal. Nothing's ever normal. What kind of bar are you setting here? We've broken all the bars. You know, with Trump, we lowered the bar. And not only did we lower the bar, we just broke the bar. It was just like, forget the bar. The bar's broken. We made so much fun of that bar. The bar doesn't even matter anymore. Now, you got to raise the bar. From what? From the ground? I mean, seriously, what kind of bar is this you're setting? I know the kind of bar I'm going to be setting. And it opens at 4 o'clock, and I'll be there till 2 in the morning. I'm only kidding. I'm not an alcoholic. Get it out. People are offended when you say that. I've told you 1,000 times, but you never listen to me. But I told you 1,000 times when I go to the doctor, one of the first questions they say to me is, do you smoke? I said, no. You know, you're keeping records on me, and yet you ask me every time I come here for my annual checkup and my 15 follow-ups during the year, you always ask me if I smoke, and I always say no. What's the matter with your computer? Are you typing it in wrong? No, I don't smoke. Ugh. And do you drink? Oh, yeah, I have to stay hydrated. Norman, do you drink alcohol? Do you? Well, it's not about me. Well, then don't make it about me. Yeah, I have a drink every once in a while. Do you live on the planet? Well, yes, I do, Mr. Van Damme. Why do you ask? If you live on the planet, you're going to have to drink. Because this is crazy, man. The bar has been lowered. How many drinks do you have a week? Oh, come on. Get off of that. Did somebody call you and tell you something? No, this is on the form. We have to ask how many drinks you have in the space of a week. Wow. None of your business. How about that? Oh, that sounds like you have a lot. Oh, stop it. Just stop it. We are having an interview, I think, next week from a study that was done. Oh, we're doing studies on everything now, by the way. If it exists, we're doing a study on it. Some people got nothing to do. What are you doing tomorrow? I'm doing a study. Study on what? Everything. I'm studying everything. I work for a university. We make a lot of money. We don't know what to do with it, so we do studies. We do a study why dirt for some reason seems to make clothes dirty. I don't know why. We're doing a study. Oh God, stop doing studies. Half the things you're doing studies on, we already know about. Anyway, so that's it. So confused. You're confused too. Let me tell you a story. I went into, I got in my car and I started driving. There's a place in Boston. Again, I live in the Boston area. Not my fault. I was moved here by a company and then I got stuck here. And then radio station said, here's a schmuck. Let's put him on the air. So I don't know, whatever. This is, by the way, self-deprecating humor. It used to work, doesn't work anymore. All right. There's a Thai restaurant in Boston. It's a restaurant, yes, where they sell Thais. That's correct. Yes, you went to a Thai restaurant. Why would they have Thais in a restaurant? Okay, you're missing a certain part of culture here. There's a thing called Thai food. No, not a typhoon. Thai food. I love Thai food. It's very, very tasty. It was my favorite place. They had a roast duck, a tamarind duck. And what they did, and somehow they sucked the fat out of it. And duck is a very, very fatty meat. Between the actual meat of the duck and the skin is like, it's like they put pus in it. It's just unbelievably, unattractively horrible. But it's just so tasty, the duck breast. Somehow in this Thai restaurant, there was no fat. I don't know how they got it out of there. They must have spent all week like just cleaning out the skin and the meat of the duck breast. It's just amazing. And I don't do duck. I don't cook duck at home because it tends to create an incredible odor throughout the house, which is not good. But so I let a restaurant do it. These people did it beautifully. It was, you know, the phrase to die for. There's nothing that's that good that I would die for. Yeah, I like the food. But in order to have death as a result, I'll pass on the food. Thank you. I've weighed the two consequences. I'm going to not want the death, and therefore I'm not going to take the food. So anyway, it was food to die for, though. It was fantastic. I've taken pictures of it because I am so enamored by it. It's amazing. I went to Symphony Hall, which is like right next to this place, and it was called Faux something. Faux one, something like that. Which is a Thai kind of dish as well. You have to wear a tie while you eat it. So I go to the symphony concert, and when I come out, I'm all excited. Oh, I'm going to go to this Thai, you know, restaurant, and you know, my lovely lady was with me, and we walk into we walk down the street, and we get to the place, to the restaurant, and there's a big sign on the door, and it says permanently closed. Permanently closed. My favorite restaurant? No! I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I had waited 2 years since the pandemic began. You don't know what the pandemic is? It was a virus that was released in the China, Greater China area, Greater China downtown area. And, Yeah. The Wanghung area, the Wangtu, I don't know, the Wutong, I don't know. Yeah, and it was a virus and it was released and it affected the whole world for 2 years. Where have you been? So I hadn't been to this restaurant for 2 years. I was looking forward to it so much, I even put new pants on. I don't know why I put new pants on, but that's how excited I was about going to this restaurant. And I get there and the sign says, closed permanently. And it doesn't explain why. I went on that stupid Google, that freaking Google machine, and I Googled that restaurant 15 times over, and it never explained why they closed. The assumption is that they were a victim of the pandemic and couldn't pay the rent or something. I have no idea. That's not the case. I just figured that was the case, but they were so freaking busy before. How is that even possible? Boston University is like basically across the street. How could this place not do any business? It was always crowded when I went, and it has the best freaking duck in the whole world. But it was closed. But not just closed. It was closed permanently. Someday I'll be walking down the street there in Boston where this restaurant was, and there'll be a new store owner, and it won't be a restaurant. It'll be a place that sells ties. How ironic is that? I have an interesting guest coming up momentarily. Thank you for letting me spout for 20 minutes. It's what I do. Thank you for allowing it. Oh, man. We'll be right back after these words with our guest.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructosey that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original barbecue or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts.
Kenneth Harper is Vice President, General Manager of Ambient Clinical Intelligence and Virtual Assistance. Hal Baker, Senior Vice President and Chief Digital and Chief Information Officer at WellSpan. Thanks for being with us today. How are you?
Great to be here. Thanks.
Thank you.
We're talking about some innovative new technology that benefits doctor and patient in the healthcare system, which is certainly imperative. Can you explain to me how this new innovation works, what it is?
Certainly. So there's this whole new notion of what's called ambient computing, which is the idea that you can take artificial intelligence and make the places that we live and work in a lot more smarter. And so Nuance DAX, or the Dragon Ambient Experience, it's one of these ambient solutions that we use in healthcare. And the way that it works is, when you as a patient, you go in, you have a conversation with your primary care physician or maybe a specialist, it can listen in on that conversation, understand what's being discussed. And so as you talk about your symptoms, as your doctor is providing his or her diagnosis and talking about the treatment plan he's going to put you on, DAX can listen in on that, understand the context of what's being discussed, and then document your care and get that document into the computer. And what that allows is for your doctor to focus much more of his or her time on you as the patient.
Ah, so this is similar to what a doctor's assistant might be doing in the background in a human sense.
You know, Ron, I think it is, but the neat thing about it is it's just on a computer, on a little phone. And so for me as a doctor, what I find is that I just turn it on, set it down, and then we really don't think about it. We just talk. And as a physician, I can now pay a lot more attention to the patient in front of me and to what they're telling me and not be trying to catalog a note that I'm going to have to write as Ken and his team take care of getting that note back to the record for us and let the two people in the room just focus on each other. That's a little different than having a third person in the room, but it's been a great relief for a lot of us in clinical practice.
So if I'm to understand this properly, when I go to the doctor and they're talking to me, they ask me a question, I respond, and then they're typing into a computer for the next minute and a half. And and then they ask me another question, and I answer it, and they're typing that in. Most of this time is clerical. When I'm in, being examined, I must admit that is annoying. Is that what we're satisfying here?
You have got it. That's exactly what we're talking about. And it's not just annoying to you. It's annoying to the physicians also. So what we're hearing from the physicians in my organization is that this is helping them get back to the joy of being there. And when you're looking at the screen, you're not looking you in the eye. And you know what that feels like. And it feels that way on our side as physicians also. So this is really allowing your physician to focus on you and not that computer.
To be a little bit colder about it, and it's just a fact of life that a lot of these medical situations, they need turnover in order to be financially sufficient. It's an ugly part of life, but that's true. Their efficiency is important to them. Not having to do all this clerical while they're doing the examination actually improves their efficiency as far as the amount of patients they see, I would assume, as well.
It is, Ron, and we're actually seeing that with the Nuance DAX solution, we're saving about 7 minutes per encounter in that documentation time that we're removing from what the physician or the doctor has to do. And so that time really adds up as you think about 7 minutes per patient visit over the course of a week. There's hours of time being saved.
Well, what about the accuracy of what is being collected? Is it more accurate to have AI do this?
Yeah, so today the way that the system works is the technology will create the document that clearly specifies what was being discussed and the treatment plan, et cetera. But we do put the document through a quality review process where we do have folks that will make sure that the document is indeed right before it goes back into the computer. And so we have some of those quality checks built in. And the nice thing, because this is artificial intelligence, is through the quality review process, we can use some of those learnings to go back and keep teaching the machine to get more accurate over time.
That's great. You guys should do this for the legal system too.
Well, it is, you know, if you think about it, in the court, there's a stenographer there.
Yeah.
And in the office, we're asking the doctor to be the stenographer and the
exactly.
doctor. And this is allowing us to spend time. You know, we do review the notes when they come back and
right.
may make a few edits. But it reduces the amount of time the doctor's spending after work, what we call pajama time.
Yes.
And that's helping doctors be more fully present and less tired.
Yeah. In a lot of medical situations, they send out letters after you've seen a doctor or an exam or even a follow-up. There's a letter that comes to me about a week later, and it tells me, it gives me a recap of my exam, not numbers, but you know what we discussed, that kind of thing. I assume that this greatly enhances that too.
In our situation, that note goes right into the patient portal, so any patient can read it or take it with them and show it, print it out. It's your record. We want you to have access to it.
Wow, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, one of the things we're seeing, Ron, is just the comprehensiveness. You know, because the machine is doing the work now. Just the comprehensiveness of what can be captured, that's just giving that much more information and explanation back to the patient on their care.
That's great. See, I don't like when I get robot calls and all that kind of stuff, but this is something that is actually an incredibly wonderful idea. How fast is this being transformed across the country?
Yeah, so this is one of the fastest growing technologies and solutions that we've ever seen, at least at Nuance. And so we have about 280 plus organizations that are now live with the service. And again, this is growing daily. So very exciting to see this get rolled out.
And it's not only that, and again, some of the complaints I have are that it takes jobs away from humans, but those very humans that are entering things into the system shouldn't be entering things into the system. They've got other things to do, or they could do it more efficiently. So this has nothing to do with replacement, does it?
No, it really doesn't. No, and if you think about patient to care, you know, access to care, you know, and some of the backlog right now and just getting an appointment with a specialist, this is just going to allow people get more care over time.
Right. Try getting an appointment with a dermatologist. It's not possible.
Yeah.
But maybe now I can get one.
But this probably can add a few extra appointments a week, and that will help with that. And then the doctor's also going to spend better quality time with you because they're not spending as much time on the computer.
Yeah. Well, adding a few appointments a week is actually very crucial, because if you're in a situation where you need to be seen rather soon, rather than told to go to an emergency room or urgent care, you can actually get an appointment with your doctor now if it's more efficient. So that is significant.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you're excited about this, and I think you will be when you first encounter it in an exam room. It is very cool. I've been using it for 18 months, and I would never want to go back.
That's great. Okay, and this also, if you do, what about the phone stuff? What do you call that, the virtual at home? That, too, they also have to type in if they're on the phone with you. So there again, are they released from it in that situation as well?
Yes, I use it in video visits.
There
I use it on telephone visits.
Yeah.
I even use it with a translator, with someone who doesn't speak English. And in all those circumstances, Ken and his team take care of getting that note back so I can just think about the patient and what they need.
Maybe I'll let one of these guys write my next book. Just sit there and spurt it out and let somebody else write it down. Okay, right. That's your next thing. And I get half of whatever happens if it works. Okay. Hey, where do we go for more information? Some medical outlets might be interested in speeding up the process. And how can we also advocate for it?
Yeah, if you go to nuance.com/ambient, you can get all the information about exactly how the solution works and read about some of the outcomes that healthcare organizations are getting from this today.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time today. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful as usual. I personally don't know how you do this, but I thank you. I really do. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show, at which time I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show as I celebrate the return tomorrow of me with a brand new show. So until then, you take care of yourself. I wish you peace.